Christmas is the stuff of which core memories are made. My Christmas memories include a shopping trip with my mom to the old Belkberry department store, back when it was in downtown Wilmington. The toy department was downstairs, as I recall, and it must have been Christmas of 77 or 78, which is right before the store closed in 1979 and moved out to Independence Mall, where it is today. These days, of course, there's no shortage of places to shop for Christmas presents in the Wilmington area. From Mayfair to College Road to Monkey Junction to Hanover Center, the options are plentiful. Up until the latter part of the 20th century, however, if you lived in Wilmington, Christmas shopping almost certainly meant a trip downtown. For most of the 20th century, in fact, multiple department stores were located downtown. In addition to Belk's, which started on North Front Street as Belk Williams in 1915, there was also an Eford's on North Front Street. JCPenney and Sears, which would both move to the mall with Belk's, were on the 200 block of North Front. There are five and dime stores like Woolworth's. There was a Crest, later Byright, on the ground floor of the Masonic Temple building, till Byright closed in 1989. Shopping downtown back then was an experience, one that doesn't quite exist in the same way anymore. Joining us on Cape Fear on Earth to talk about her memories of Christmas shopping in the downtown Wilmington of the 1950s and 60s is Elaine Henson. Elaine's a local historian whose book, Carolina Beach, A Postcard History, was published by Arcadia. She's a new Hanover High School graduate and a board member of the Federal Point Historic Preservation Society in Carolina Beach. All right, I'm here with Elaine Henson. Thank you so much for being with us on Cape Fear on Earth. Memory of going when I was a little kid, I was probably 7 or 8. I remember going to Belk's downtown with my mom, and I remember going downstairs to the toy department because but you know, it was a very kind of hazy memory, and I was like, you never know. I mean, you remember stuff and you're not sure if you remember it, but then you confirm my memory that the toys were actually downstairs in Belk's there.
That was Toyland. It was in the basement at Belk's, and you could walk down the stairs or you could take the elevator.
Oh, well.
And around Christmas time, they would take about a third of that downstairs floor, and they would make it Toyland, and they had all kinds of toys.
Wow, yeah, and I don't remember any specific toys, but I do remember going down there or wanting to go down there. Now, for people listening, now the Belk's is where the main branch of the library is now, but the entrance was not where it is now. The entrance was on 2nd and
The entrance was on Chestnut. 2nd and Chestnut. Yeah. And that's where you entered. There was a back door, which is actually where the library entrance is now.
Okay.
You know, closer to 3rd Street.
Okay.
And Joe Holman, the Holman family, Joe Holman actually leased a part of Belk's downtown. He had about the only bookstore we had in Wilmington at that time. Was Joe Holman, and it was a little part of the back section of Belk's that he leased for his bookstore.
Yeah, well, and so this was just the time. This is, you know, this is in the 70s when I remember, but going back to the 60s and 50s and even before, you know, when you go Christmas shopping, as many people are doing right now, I mean, you didn't have much choice but to go downtown because that's where everything was, right?
All the stores were downtown.
Yeah.
And I can remember I was teaching school, and I would always reserve a couple of days as soon as vacation got out, and I would spend them literally downtown.
Yeah, just going from store to store.
Going from store to store. I'd spend all day. I'd have lunch down there and get all my Christmas shopping done because Penny's was downtown.
I was going to say, Belk's wasn't the only department store. There was Penny's. There
Eford's,
was
Eford's. Was
tell me about Eford's, because that was
one that's Eford's
kind of,
was on the corner of, the building is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
On the corner of Front and Grace.
Yeah, where the outdoor equipped or
yeah,
whatever
it
little
is.
Outdoor
it
store is now, yeah.
And which also brings another store down there in mind. Right across on the same corner, Front and Grace was Spillman's camera shop.
Okay.
It was a camera shop during the year, but at Christmas, it was a toy store too.
That is interesting, you know, because that is one thing you mentioned. I don't remember that, but I do remember you told me that, you know, Belk's, during the year, they wouldn't have that many toys down.
No.
but they would kind of transform into a toy store for Christmas. And you said other stores that wouldn't necessarily have toys would have them at Christmas time.
I think I mentioned the Western Auto.
Western Auto,
which is an automotive supply store.
That's
and
so
you
funny.
Wouldn't think of
right.
them as having toys. They were up on 3rd Street near Red Cross.
Yeah.
And they, at Christmas time, they would have a lot of toys, like little pedal cars.
That's so funny.
And
but even the camera shop would have toys.
Oh,
during.
And the camera shop had toys, and they, at that time, there was a doll that was very popular. It was called a ginger doll.
Okay.
And it was a little doll, but you could buy lots of clothes and outfits for her. And I had one of those.
That's so funny.
And so I loved the Spillman's camera shop, which, like I said, it was a camera shop during the year, but at Christmas it was a toy store too.
Well, so you mentioned that you would, get out and walk around and go from store to store. And what was the atmosphere like downtown then? I mean, I think it's pretty busy these days, but I'm guessing it was, I know we talk about it kind of going into decline in the maybe 70s, but but at the time when there were so many stores down there, it had to have been busy.
It was busy.
Yeah.
The sidewalks would be filled with people,
all doing
their Christmas shopping, and there were so many nice restaurants downtown. Of course, there are a lot of restaurants downtown now.
Yeah.
But back then, Wilmington didn't have very many restaurants,
right.
And the concentration was downtown. I know Sappho's restaurant was in the block between, it was down from the Murchison building in the block between Chestnut and Grace.
Yeah.
And
that's obviously Mayor Bill Sappho's family.
That Doki Sappho, and I think his cousin George Sappho had that restaurant. And then in the block between Market and Princess, there was the Crystal Restaurant, which was the forerunner. The Crystal Restaurant, I think, was owned by the Zezafelis brothers, and they eventually bought the Luna Pier, which was next to Lumen at Wrightsville Beach, and they renamed it the Crystal Pier.
Oh.
And they had the restaurant was on the pier, and then they had rooms and apartments down on the street, and it's now located where the Oceanic restaurant is.
That's amazing, because this is the first time I did not know that's where the Crystal Pier got its name from. There was a Crystal Restaurant downtown. That is amazing.
And it was next door to the Bailey.
Yeah, the old movie theater.
Well,
and so tell me a bit, you told me, and I think Beverly Tetterton mentions it in her book, that the window displays at Belk's particularly were famous. I mean, I think
magical.
Everyone, what were they like? I mean,
magical.
They were like animatronic characters, or what was it?
Absolutely magical. Yeah. It was kind of like, I mean, of course, children nowadays, there's so many animations and so many programs in Disney World and so forth. But back then, we didn't have any of that.
Right.
I mean, actually, comic books were about the closest, I think, that you could come
That's
to something
funny.
Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So Belk's would have the first window, and sometimes it was the first and second window, that faced Chestnut Street.
Yeah.
And the entrance was at 2nd and Chestnut, and the first window would be the Christmas window, and they would be mechanical, so it would the creatures or the characters would be moving, and it would be a Christmas theme, sometimes with elves and a ladder and Santa and that kind of thing, but they would be moving somewhat, you know, really kind of like robotic in today's terms.
I bet people would go down there just to see that.
Absolutely. I mean, if you were lucky, you got several trips downtown to see the Belk's windows.
Wow.
And we would just stand there and just be mesmerized. And then usually you would get back in the car and your father would take you to the world's largest living Christmas tree.
Which was not that far. Really.
Was at the Sweeney Water Plant.
Yep.
And in what is called Hilton section.
Yeah,
it's on the way to
Castle
Hill now. But, and then you would go there, and Santa would be there too. And there was a little house underneath the tree where you would go in and see Santa. And it was...
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
Now, do they have anywhere? Now, like I know, like the Cotton Exchange has Santa some days now, but was there anywhere downtown that, like, they'd have a Santa Claus for kids?
I only remember.
Or was that mainly at the Christmas tree?
I only remember the Santa at at Hilton Park.
Yeah, that was a big
and
deal.
And another thing about that mall, Christmas tree, John.
Yeah.
My parents were from Sampson County, so yeah. And at Christmas time we would go to my grandmother's, and we would go over the what is now the Isabel Holmes Bridge.
Yeah.
And you could see the reflection of the world's largest yeah. living Christmas tree in the river, and it was
wow.
We just loved that. That was
well,
a special
I remember
treat.
Before they stopped doing it after they built the MLK. If you're coming downtown, mm-hmm. you know, toward downtown on the MLK, you could see it. Yeah. It was, I mean, it was big. I mean, it was bigger than people. I mean, it was a big deal.
It was a big
back
deal.
Back then, you know, to see, you know, to remember, you know,
it was
to see
a big
Santa
deal.
And the and, little, and so it'd be kind of like, a, you know, you go downtown and shop, and then you'd go mm-hmm. out and, you know, mm-hmm. it was like an event, you know, it was.
It was. People. It was.
We'll talk a little bit about, now, did some of the other stores do windows as well? I mean, I guess everyone probably did their windows.
Yeah, I think all the stores did windows, but yeah. Belk's was the only window that was dedicated to children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
oh, right,
a Christmas
yeah.
theme
yeah.
and mechanical things that yeah. moved. And the other stores basically just put their, you know, Christmas, they would put like a tricycle in the window.
If yeah,
was,
yeah, yeah.
If they sold, depending on what they sold, they would put Christmas yeah. things. And then there were the dime stores that were downtown.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about those a little bit. There was Woolworths, and then there was
and McClellan's, and okay. sometimes they would it would be the same building, but they would change names.
Yeah, there was a Crest. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Now what kind of stuff did those stores sell? I mean, was it like, you know, like the convenience stores we think of today, or was it more?
I think the store today that you could compare them to yeah. would be like the dollar store.
Okay, interesting.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
were called dime stores
yeah.
because everything a lot of things in there cost a dime.
Oh, huh, wow.
But, and of course, the dollar store is the same thing.
Yeah,
but they would have toys. They would have pretty much the same kind of things
yeah.
that you can find at the dollar store now.
Okay. Yeah, because I know there was one, so the Woolworths was kind of next to where the post office is.
It was in that block between, it was on Front Street between Princess and Chestnut.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very close to the post office.
Yeah, and then there was the Crest and the kind of the bottom of the Masonic Temple.
Yes.
And then McClellan's, I don't remember that one. Where
McClellan's could have been, I think it could have been Cress's.
Okay.
All, at one point.
And I changed names.
At
okay,
one
yeah,
point.
Yeah, okay.
And another place, I just thought about this, another place that a lot of people that I like to eat
yeah.
lunch when I was downtown was Futrell's Drugstore.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was on the corner of Princess yeah. and Second?
Yeah.
Second
yep,
and Princess.
Sure. Yeah, no.
The building is still there. And they had a regular soda fountain with
oh, wow.
Grilled cheese, and they made homemade chicken salad, and it would be a marble counter,
wow.
you know, a typical old-fashioned soda fountain. And next door, a couple doors down, was the Dixie Restaurant, not the
yeah.
Dixie Grill.
Right, right. I didn't know there was a second Dixie Restaurant.
There was a Dixie, a second one, and it was a very nice restaurant,
yeah.
and a lot of the lawyers and judges that were
yeah.
that would eat lunch there because they walked down from the courthouse.
Right.
And let's see, that coupled with Sappho's and the Crystal Restaurant were some of the really
yeah.
nice restaurants.
Well, and then
there.
The other thing, I don't think people always realize that, you know, a lot of all the retail stuff is downtown, right? I mean, all the jewelry stores
mm-hmm.
and the clothing stores
all
and the shoe
stores.
So it's almost like a, you know,
lots of shoe stores, lots
yeah.
of clothing stores.
Yeah.
Ed Fleischman's was in Payne's.
Yeah, Payne's. Oh,
Payne's
yeah.
Mini
yeah, that was where my dad worked at Payne's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Freeman Shoe Company, Sue Ann Shoes.
Yeah, Sue Ann Shoe, because that one was going on until the 90s, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I think so. It's a restaurant
yeah.
now. Where
yeah,
the
yeah.
same the building
the beer bar
is still
is.
There.
Yeah, but that, I can still see that, you know, that sign in my mind just as clear as
yeah.
day, that kind of black on the white letters. I'm sorry, the yellow letters.
And like we were talking about, the department stores like Penny's
yeah.
and Sears
yeah.
were on Front Street,
yeah.
along with Eford's, which was a big three-story building.
Yeah.
And I remember at Eford's, I think if you had a Belk's charge card, I think you could also use it at Eford's, because at one point, Belk's and Eford's, I kind of remember, were connected. But
yeah.
it was a very interesting system they had, because it was a system of little tubes that were in the store, and they would put, like, if you bought something, they would put your charge card or something in one of these tubes, and it would shoot to another part of the store, maybe an office where they would validate whatever credit card you were using, if you had one back then, and then they would shoot it back with the receipt. It was really
interesting. It is a different way they used to do, because I remember this wasn't that old, but I remember Best on College Road in the 80s. Like, people used to shop differently. You would go there and you would look on the shelf and see, I want that, and then you would, they'd go in the back and bring it out. You just didn't pick out the thing, you know, but it was just a different way of shopping back then, you know? I think now it's like, you know, it's some people don't ever leave the house to shop.
Well, I was getting ready to say, nowadays people, a lot of people do their shopping online, which back in those days, we would have never imagined in a million years that you could actually shop online.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, I guess once downtown, you know, I guess once the mall really opened in 79 and Belk's moved out there and Sears moved out there. And then that was kind of the...
Penny's moved out there.
Because I remember it was a very... That was the big thing about, remember the old DARE, downtown revitalization. Mm-hmm. We had to get retail back downtown. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job, because, I mean, you could go you can do all your Christmas shopping downtown right now, which is, it was not that way for a while.
No, it was, we went through some really dark days down there, downtown. I mean, it especially Front Street's just south of Market.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. I mean, topless bars and adult bookstores.
Yeah. I remember, being a kid, my dad would say, go walk to the library. He's like, but do not go downtown. Just stay on Third Street. Just gonna walk straight to the library. And this is in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it is interesting how it's evolved. Because, I mean, now you go to the more, you can do your shopping downtown, but it's going to be more like the boutique-y. Places. It's not going to be, but I mean, back then it was like, that was all the mainstream stuff in the mall. It was like, you know, I mean, there wasn't Walmart or anything back then, but you know, that would have all the mainstream stuff was, you know, down there. So
that's right. Yeah. Well, it's where everybody went shopping.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my mother, when we went to Belk, she would wear a hat and gloves to go shopping.
That's funny. Gene Merritt told me the same thing. He said, hey, his mom wouldn't go grocery shopping without, you know, gloves and a hat and high heels. But that was just a different, it's just kind of fun to look back at those times and just.
Yeah, you would actually dress up to go downtown to go shopping.
Yeah. Was it a more, I mean, you know, when you look back at those days and just, you know, it is kind of fun to look at the nostalgia and the memories and all that. You know, have we lost anything or, you know, I mean, things are just different now, but.
Well,
you know,
I think the camaraderie was different.
Yeah.
I think the camaraderie was different because Wilmington was a small, sleepy little town.
Yeah.
And most families knew everybody, all the other families, because there was one white high school and one black high school. And, of course, this was during segregation.
Yeah.
But everybody went to the same high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on your race. And so you knew... You know, you went to school with everybody in town.
Yeah, yeah.
So you knew everybody. And when you went places, if you went to a store or an occasional restaurant, because families didn't eat out
like
they do now.
It was a big deal back then. I remember my grandparents, my mom's parents.
Yeah.
I mean, for them to ever eat at a restaurant, that was just like, you know, why would we do that? We have food at home. You know?
I know. And another restaurant that just popped into my mind was the New China on 4th Street.
Okay. Now, I remember the New China on Oleander, but I don't remember when it was on 4th.
It was on 4th. It was right near Thalian Hall. It was, know, 4th was on, I mean, the New China was on 4th. And between Chestnut and Princess. And, of course, Thalian Hall was in there, too.
Well,
on 3rd.
Well, this has just been such a, I mean, I could sit here and talk about all these old stores all day. I wish I could kind of jump in a time machine and, you know, walk around back downtown back then. But Elaine Henson, thank you so much for your time and for taking time to talk with me about all this stuff. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, John.
And that's it for this episode of Cape Fear Unearthed and our look at Christmas shopping in downtown Wilmington. We'll be back soon with another chapter of Wilmington history. Till then, make sure you're a member of our Facebook group, where listeners can ask questions about our episodes and share their own memories of the region's history. In that group, I post extra content from each episode and links to all my coverage of local history for the Star News. You can find that group by searching Cape Fear Unearthed on Facebook. Don't forget to sign up for the Cape Fear Unearthed newsletter that goes out every Thursday. Sign up for the newsletter at starnewsonline.com/newsletters. Cape Fear Unearthed was written, edited, and hosted by yours truly, John Staton. You can find more of my work at starnewsonline.com. This podcast was made possible by listeners and readers like you. Support local journalism and Cape Fear Unearthed by subscribing to the Star News today at starnewsonline.com. Subscribe. And while you're subscribing to things, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you stream this show so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review, which will help more people find Cape Fear Unearthed. Till then, get out and explore the Cape Fear region on your own. You never know what you might unearth.